Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Today on Family Life, we're talking with Jenny Coffey, a mom of four and a counselor who trains other family counselors. Jenny, thank you for being with us today on Family Life.
Thanks so much, Greg. Thanks for having me.
As we celebrate Mother's Day this week, moving beyond that, what would be the best benefit that you and other moms might get from their families these days to make the task of being a great mom easier?
If husbands and children can kind of rally around mom, and even if it could be something where it's continuous, like the one day off is great, but kind of coming to her and saying, how can we help take some of this load off, whether it's one or two things on a weekly basis that could be helpful that different members of the family can take over. So I know in my family, one of the things that's been really helpful is we have all elementary schoolers, but my husband has kind of taken over the role of doing kind of the little projects that come home from school. So whether it's like, oh, we got to create a picture timeline or those types of things. So just knowing that he's getting those emails as well and kind of keeps up with that. It's like one, I call them desktop windows, like on a computer. It's like one window that I can close on my desktop of something I don't have to deal with. So that's what I mean by rest, Greg, is just taking some of those things off her plate, something that could be sustainable throughout just the family dynamic in general.
I can see how that would be great modeling of the partnership if you are in a two-parent family, that the children
Correct.
Growing up see this is the role. Mom doesn't do everything and dad comes home on the couch. I mean, that's a stereotype, but some of stereotypes are based somewhat in truth, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you actually saying that about two-parent households, because absolutely, you know, I don't want to be naive to the fact that many of your listeners and just many women are doing this alone, or they're doing it in a way that maybe isn't in the traditional two-parent household. And so I think in those contexts, depending on the age of the children, there's two options there. One, I'm really big on parents being pretty transparent with their children about where they're at emotionally. I mean, one of the things I say to my kids is, I am allowed to have my own reactions, emotions, opinions about things, but that doesn't mean my kids have to take it on. It's not their emotional responsibility to take on. And so being honest with the kids, and if it's a single mom coming to them and saying, hey, I'd really like to come up with a way that you guys could help some, or coming up with some type of a system that doesn't add more work to the mom. I think sometimes things like chore charts and stuff, it's like I'm ending up like chasing my kids to do the chores. And it's like, okay, this is like the opposite of what this was supposed to be. But something that maybe is inside that child's strength or wheelhouse, or something that they would enjoy being helpful in, that really could take some of that stress off of mom. So I think that there's creative ways to do it. But yeah, it definitely is harder in those households where mom doesn't have maybe that second adult to come alongside and say, okay, guys, let's try to figure out ways to help around here a little bit more.
We're talking with family counselor Jenny Coffey. I started asking, what can families do for moms? For the moms who are listening into our conversation, could we flip that coin over to the other side? And what's the message of grace or perspective you have for moms who do feel overwhelmed or feel that if, you know, I've got so much to do and I have to do it and I have to be great at it? What would be helpful for a mom to hear about balancing that in all the roles that come with motherhood?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't think it's any secret that there are hundreds of narratives that each of us, not just moms, but just each of us as people, are facing on a day-to-day basis, as far as not only what society is through, but what our brain is telling us, what maybe some of the things that we learned as children, or some of those belief systems that we have just become ingrained into our head. And so I know that this is something very stereotypical and something that's talked about a lot. But I know for me, probably one of the best things that I have done is really monitor and curtail my social media use. I think it can be really easy, especially maybe for moms who are looking for just a brain switch off at times. Like we talked about rest earlier. It's like the illusion of rest is, oh, I'll just lay in bed and scroll through my phone. And while I do not want to downplay some of the benefits that social media can bring in networking and connecting with people and learning things we didn't know, I think it can be a mindless way of feeding into some of those negative narratives. You know, there's kind of the joke of the lie of social media, which is like, okay, what is the picture that you chose to put up? Well, let's see the 25 others that didn't make the cut. So it's not true to life. It's not living in reality all the time. And so getting off of that at times, or being very, very accountable in how you're on it, I think can make a huge difference and allowing moms to really live inside the narrative that God has for them and their family has and their children have, and live inside the reality of what is truth in that versus maybe what society or social media is telling them what is true, which is you need to do these things to keep up. You need to do these things to be a good mom. Or you see the mom that's creating a 5-course packed lunch for her kids going to school, and I'm sitting there going through, like, giving them full cucumbers. You know what I mean? It's like, well, at least they get a vegetable. They'll be fine. You know, but you can get on there and get very sucked in to this belief that I'm not doing a good enough job. And what we really have to remember is that is such a false reality to how people are living in day in and day out.
Speaking to our Christian listeners, many of whom are active and even leaders in congregations, what advice would you give to church communities that in making their own schedules and their expectations, as well as providing ministry to families, what would be the best thing that congregations can do to support motherhood in all of its different forms and flavors?
So I think one of the things that I've really seen, and being a millennial myself, it's been really interesting as a family therapist to kind of watch some of the trends and family throughout the course of the different generations. And one of the things that we can really see from the younger Gen X generation, the millennial generation, and the older Gen Z generation is they're parenting a lot different than the older Gen X and the boomer generation did. And we're starting to see a lot more natural collaboration between mom and dad and a lot more expectation of what that is supposed to look like. And so I think even little things like this sounds small and silly, but even little things like only putting the baby changing station in the women's bathroom. That's a very small thing that a lot of places do, which pretty much tells moms like, oh, this is on you to do. So even little things that like that can add to that collaboration between fathers and mothers and really emphasize and support that, maybe on that churches can kind of send that message that moms and dads are equal. So that's a small thing, but even other things where it's like the mom is the point person for any kind of contact, or hey, this is going on with your kid, or, and having a more collaborative approach of saying, hey, let's pull dad in, or how can we, you know, adding dad to the group message or things like that, that can really kind of emphasize that whether or not dad is going to be super involved with it, it adds the message that the mom isn't the only one who is responsible or accountable for the things being talked about or the things being discussed. It's like, no, we are bringing in both of you so that you have that partner and we can support you in that way. I know a lot of, like we said earlier, the single mom thing, that makes it very difficult because there isn't that second person. And so what I would say in that context is for churches to come alongside and kind of try to take some of that burden off. I know they can't be another parent, but think about ways to say, you know, how can we support and pull some of this weight off, knowing that we're not in the home? You know, how can we not add another thing to her plate? that would just be a blessing to her and take some of that stress and pressure off.
Jenny Coffey, a family counselor from Colorado. We connected with her through Focus on the Family. Jenny, thank you for your advice and perspectives on how to take Mother's Day forward to continue to celebrate moms all year long. I'm Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.